Welcome to the Part-Time Money Podcast, Episode 18, Taking Your Freelance Writing Business to the Next Level. I'm your host, Philip Taylor, creator of PT Money Personal Finance. The Part-Time Money Podcast is designed to help you discover new and interesting ways to make extra money and to learn the ins and outs of those money-making methods. Not from me, but from the people who are actually doing the work. Along the way, hopefully you can pick up a few entrepreneurial skills to help you in whatever money-making pursuit you take on. All right, today we have a special interview. We're here with Miranda Marquit, and Miranda is you're probably familiar with on my blog because she is a contributing writer to my blog. I've been working with her for over the past 7 months, and she's produced some really high-quality content for my site, and she does this on a freelance basis. So I'm going to talk to her today about how she manages her freelance writing projects and just sort of how she got into that business and manages all that. So welcome, Miranda.
Thank you for having me.
My first question is usually how did you start making or what made you decide to start making some part-time money, but I understand this has really always been your full-time gig. So maybe just share with us what motivated you to get into freelance writing.
Well, what happened was when I got my master's degree in journalism, my husband and I decided that it would be a good way for me to stay home, and I wanted to be able to stay home and take care of my son. Mm-hmm. And so I just decided, you know, it's all or nothing, just go for it. And so I just never looked for, you know, what people would call a real job. And I just went for the freelancing right from the beginning because I knew that I wanted to be able to stay home.
Okay. So when you had the journalism master's degree in mind, was that sort of your thought process as well, or did that develop as you finished up the degree?
It actually happened before I decided to get the journalism degree. I already have a communications degree, and okay. So it just seemed like a natural progression, and I knew that if I got the journalism degree, I would be able to write, and it would, you know, equip me with the tools I needed to be a freelance writer. So
what are those tools?
Well, one of the questions that really embarrasses me is people ask me how long it takes me to write a post, mm-hmm. and I always just answer, you know, and one of the things that I learned how to do when I took this journalism course of study was to write fast and to write with a minimum of grammatical errors. I mean, I still make mistakes. Everybody does. But I do try to take those things, and it really helped me learn to write concisely, mm-hmm. to write quickly, and it taught me how to do research quickly so that I could pull together my writing on a deadline. Mm. And so it really helped me learn how to write in a way that was efficient for my time and helped me to get things done a little bit quicker. And also, the school that I went to, Syracuse, provided me with a great network of alumni, mm-hmm. and fellow graduates to get me started. Some of the gigs that I had when I first started freelance writing came as a direct result of my time in school.
Sweet. With other classmates you're talking about?
Yeah, with other classmates and then also with other Syracuse alumni.
I see. That's cool. You gave me a lot to chomp on there.
Sorry.
No, that's good.
That's a really long-winded response.
No. So you love writing.
I do.
You like it so much. You studied it. You've learned how to be good at it. I know you can't give me a master's level course here in 15 minutes, but maybe talk to me about a couple of tips that would help a person if they wanted to write faster. I know I write pretty slow, so maybe just like a couple of tips for how to write faster and minimize those errors.
I think one of the things for writing faster, part of it is practice, of course. Mm-hmm. The more you write, the faster it's going to be, and the more you're going to be able to, the more you're going to be able to just write faster. I mean, part of it is just practice. But on top of that, it also helps to kind of stop and think about what you're going to put in your post before you start writing.
Okay.
And usually before I start writing a post, I take 2 or 3 minutes to take a deep breath, think about the way I want the post to flow, what I'm going to, you know, what I want to cover first, middle, and last, and really put it together like a story, like kind of like we learned in basic composition. You have your intro, you have your body, your points that support your intro, and then you have your conclusion. Mm-hmm. And kind of following that formula can really help you, you know, write a little bit faster, get your thoughts organized, and just go for it.
Mm-hmm. So do you actually do, you said you sort of think about it in terms of that structure. Do you actually write down what I would call the outline as well?
I do not.
Okay. So you don't actually write that down. That's good. That's good to know, rather.
I don't write it down. I stop and just kind of think about it before I get started.
Gotcha. That's good stuff.
And then another thing that I think helps too is writing what you know about. Mm-hmm. If it's something that you know, something that you're interested in, something that you feel passionate about, then you'll be able to write a little bit faster. You won't have to look up so many things or do as much research. I still like to research my posts, and I still like to make sure that I'm as accurate as possible. But part of it too is, you know, since I know a lot about personal finance at this point in my life, mm-hmm. it's a little bit easier to write faster. When I first started writing about personal finance, I didn't know as much, and it took a little bit longer.
You think it's important for a new freelance writer to pick a niche like you did?
I think that it helps a little bit. I actually kind of fell into this niche, and I originally started out, my first permanent writing gig was for a physics website. I still write for them. Hmm. And then I also wrote for Discover Magazine for a little bit. And so I actually thought I was going to be a science writer for a while. And then I had a couple people ask about personal finance, and I just sort of gravitated that way and found I really enjoyed learning about it. It helped me in my own life, and I saw that it could help other people. Mm-hmm. And so I just sort of gravitated toward personal finance. I think that if you want to be a specialist in one area, it really does help to pick a niche. And it helps you kind of develop, I guess, a reputation in that area.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're all over the place and doing all sorts of different things, I guess there's pros and cons to each. I mean, if you do all sorts of different things, then you're a little bit more broad based and you can fill more needs for more people. Mm-hmm. So I guess there's that kind of flip side, but I've never regretted myself being in this niche. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's certainly how I found out about you was reading you on other personal finance blogs, and I knew you had quality stuff. And so your stuff was naturally marketed to me because you were within my niche. So I think it helps from getting clients' perspective.
Yeah, and if you want to go after a certain segment of, I guess, the market, I don't know, you really do need to say, well, this is what I do, and this is what I'm good at, and mm-hmm. this is, you know, what I know.
Yeah, I noticed you write for allbusiness.com. Are you an ownership there, and is it important to have sort of your own platform like that?
I am not in ownership of allbusiness.com at all.
Okay.
And in fact, they just mixed it up. They just redid their entire website and redid it, their entire platform. Mm-hmm. So I don't even have as much of my own voice in there as I used to. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you. For a while with the All Business blog, I mean, they had it divided up into separate blogs, and I could do pretty much what I wanted, even though I didn't own the blog. Mm-hmm. And now they've redone it so that we're not writing as many posts, and we kind of have to go through an approval process. So it's not really the same.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I've been really lucky. A lot of the blogs that I write for don't mind that I kind of interject my opinion sometimes and use my own voice. I think it is important to find your own voice to a certain extent, but I don't think that you need to own your own website. And I have to say that because I don't. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't have my own personal finance blog. So.
Gotcha. Okay. But I notice you do have a website at MirandaMarquette.com. And so
I do.
You at least have a place to maybe reference some of your articles and for folks to find out a little more about you.
Yeah, and I think that that is important, to kind of have a home mm-hmm. where even though you may not necessarily be, you know, it doesn't have my blog post on it, but just a place where you can kind of have a sort of landing page for yourself, where people come and kind of find you, see what your resume looks like, see some samples, and see what you offer.
So you've been doing this about 6 years, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So why? What do you think has allowed you to be able to do it so long?
to have
success with it, you know.
I think a lot of it's just keeping with it and being consistent. Mm-hmm. A lot of people give up really soon. For me, giving up wasn't an option. I've been the primary breadwinner for years now. And while my husband was going to school, and giving up wasn't an option. I couldn't just say, oh, well, I'll just dabble here and here and there, and we'll see what happens. I had to do it, and I had to do whatever it took to do it. And I think that a lot of people give up too soon. And part of the reason I've been able to do it for a little bit longer is just sheer determination and a refusal to say no.
That's awesome. So you still just have one kid?
Yes.
Okay. Great. So how do you find time, you know, as the breadwinner, but also as a mom, to sort of fit your schedule in?
Well, because I do only have the one child, it is a little bit easier. He's school age now.
Okay.
So he's at school all day. When he was younger, though, before he was in school all day, I actually, people thought it was strange, but I sent him to daycare and preschool
for
part of the day. Not for very long, just 2 or 3 hours a day. But it was something that I could do to make sure that I had time to get the most important things, as far as my work went, done. And I could get them done and get them out of the way and feel a lot more comfortable spending time with my son without having to worry about what was hanging over my head.
Yeah, I think that's smart. Do you need to get the door?
I do not.
Okay. So talk a little bit about that time period, because I know there's a lot of stay-at-home moms who might be listening to this and who want to maybe do freelance writing. What was your day like? How did you schedule sort of your writing time?
Okay. Well, so my day was I would get up early. I would get up before my son got up. Mm-hmm. I would get up and I would get started. And I would start writing and I would get my inbox taken care of, figure out what was most important to get done that day, and then start writing. And then when my son got up, I would get him his breakfast and get him started playing. And one of the great things about working early in the morning with kids is a lot of the time kids are much happier first thing in the morning, right after breakfast, and they're willing to play by themselves. My son would just bring his toys in the office and just sit and play while I worked. And then after an hour or so, he'd want some attention, so I'd take a break, and we'd play a little bit and have a little fun. And then after that, I would work a little more, and then we'd have lunch, and then he would usually have his daycare.
I see.
And so then he would go to daycare, and I'd finish some things up, and then he'd come home and want to talk about his day. Sometimes he had time for a little bit of nap time, so I could work during his nap time. And then he'd want to play a little bit more, and so he'd play with me a little bit. Then I'd ease him out, and he'd play by himself while I worked mm-hmm. some more. And then after he went to bed, I'd work a little bit. So it was a lot of little things during the day where I sort of – but I think the real key was just having that daycare and paying for that. It sounds weird to say, oh, well, you're from home. You work from home. You don't need to get a babysitter. You don't need to get daycare. But really, just 2 hours a day of the daycare was very helpful, and it helped him get ready to go to school later. So it was helpful for him for playing with other children and getting socialized, and it was helpful for me for getting some work done.
I like it. And so now your day's a lot more wide open, and you can work more, and I'm sure have taken on some more clients as well.
Yeah, during the summer things get a little bit nuts, but
oh, that's right, it is summer. Yeah,
his summertime comes, and so I send him to day camps sometimes during the summer. And then there are days where I just, you know, my entire schedule is upside down, and that's just the way it works. And I get up and I do what I can. And then we have whole days where, you know, my son and my husband and I, we go to the lake, or, you know, we go do other summertime things. And so then I just work at night. I mean, there's, you know, I don't particularly enjoy working at night, but during the summer when, you know, family's all home and it's very important to find that balance between family and work, then I switch my schedule up. So a lot of the time I work at night.
I'm sort of in a similar mode. So let's talk about, would you mind discussing, you know, how much time it does, or how much you make per article usually? does that vary from client to client, or?
It actually varies from client to client, and from how long it makes. How long it takes, how many words, I mean, the articles are, but it does vary a little bit from client to client. I make anywhere between $18 per article and $150 per article.
Okay.
So it's a pretty wide range. Some of it depends on like how big the client is. If it's a really major client and they have the budget, then, you know, I have no problem charging them more. Mm-hmm. If it's a small client, though, and a lot of the, you know, if it's a small client, though, I'm willing to be a little more flexible. And then also some of it depends, too, on, you know, like revenue sharing or traffic bonuses and that kind of thing.
Gotcha. So and how long does it take you? You mentioned you can write an article fast, so that's a big player in this equation. So for a 500-word article, how long would that take you to write typically?
It takes me anywhere between 10 and 20 minutes.
That is awesome.
So it just sort of depends. Some of them for a 500 article between 10 and 20 minutes. If I have to do a little more research, it might take longer. It might take half an hour or so, but it doesn't take me a terribly long time.
That's amazing. So it's easy to see how, you know, you write 10 articles a day. You're talking about even if it's 30 minutes of your time each, what's that, 300 minutes, 5 hours of your day, and you're making $300 a day, you know, off those articles kind of. So you can really build up a nice income at that level.
You can, yeah.
Have you seen your income fluctuate over the years?
Not really. It's grown as I've had more clients and I've gotten better at writing and a little bit faster at writing. So my income's actually grown a little bit and everything. But I haven't really had a lot of like fluctuation and a lot of hard fluctuation. Kind of the rise of the internet as a marketing tool and the rise of and just kind of the rise of an interest in personal finances has really kind of helped as far as keeping things kind of steady.
Yeah. So where do you find your clients and how do you find the highest paying clients?
I don't try.
Okay.
Not awful. I haven't actually applied for a writing job probably for 3 years. I don't actively look for the highest paying clients. If somebody comes to me and asks if I can write for them, if I have room for them in the schedule, and gosh, this is going to sound awful, if they can afford me, then we go forward. I don't really actually worry about trying to pick and choose the highest client, highest paying clients.
Gotcha.
Does that sound awful?
No.
I know that's like not very helpful, but I don't try to find certain clients.
There's two things there. I mean, that's a testimony to how well positioned you are in the niche, how good your writing is, and you know, how long you've been at it here. So I think that, you know, the lesson learned here is that it may take some time, but eventually you can get to a point to where marketing yourself may not even be necessary. So
yeah. And I think really too, if you want to look for some of the higher end clients, I mean, there are places like MediaBistro.com that have, you know, kind of those more major clients that you can kind of go and look and apply for jobs there. But of course, once you start getting to those kind of places, the competition for the job openings are kind of, is much higher. It's much fiercer.
I would imagine it's pretty tough out there right now for writers.
Yeah, I think it probably is. Yeah.
So if you were getting started today, and I know it may be hard to answer this question, but if you were just going to get started with, if you just graduated with your master's degree there, and we're going to get started today, what would be some of the steps you would take to establish your career?
Yeah, well, first, I think getting, like we talked about a little bit before, getting that web page where you can put who you are and people can find you, and that's that landing page that has all that information about you, who you are, your qualifications, what you've done so far. I think that's important first off, just so that you can establish a presence. Mm-hmm. And then next, you need to start writing. You need to have some sort of way to showcase your writing, whether that's starting your own blog and blogging on your own to just sort of establish your writing and establish sort of, I don't know, I guess a portfolio.
Okay.
I think you need to be able to showcase your writing so that people can see your writing and what you have done and what you are capable of. And then you just need to go out there and you need to apply for jobs and keep at it. When I first started, I remember I visited job boards every single day. I visited the Pro Blogger job board. I visited the freelancewritinggigs.com, their job board. I even spent a little bit of time on those paid sites like Guru and Elance. I didn't do a lot there. I don't think it's necessary to sign. But I did, check them every now and again. But I did. Keep coming. And you have to find a place where you can write regularly. And for me, it was associated content.
Mm-hmm.
And it was when associated content was just starting up. And I know it's not the most high quality, fabulous place to be.
Right.
But that for me was where I could get writing up there and be consistent. And every single day, I posted, I was posting 3 or 4 articles. I was submitting 3 or 4 articles a day to associated content. And that's when I was noticed. And that's when somebody said, well, this is consistent work. And I guess this is consistent work and it's of a reasonable quality. And let's ask her if she can do something for us.
Who was that?
It was actually Robin Tippins, the co-author on our book, Community 101.
Mm-hmm.
She actually discovered me, I guess, and introduced me to blogging. And she just saw me on associated content. And she's the one who got me started in blogging. And it's been great ever since.
Oh, very
but
cool.
I think that's key. I think you have to get there and you have to just keep coming and coming and coming. And I did a lot of things I didn't enjoy doing for, a year and a half, 2 years. And you just have to stick with it and keep writing and work to improve your writing and then keep applying for jobs.
That's good stuff. Good tips.
Yeah, it gets frustrating and it does. And there are times you're just, there were a couple times when I was just like, oh, why don't I just go get a real job? But, I just stuck with it because I had to. And if you power through and just keep doing and have that discipline, then eventually I think you can, I think you can make it.
So what about outsourcing? Do you outsource any of your work?
I do not. There was one memorable occasion in which I gave some work for my brother to do, and he did such a poor job that I had to redo it and fix it and fix the problem. And it was almost a reputation killer. And
right.
I have not had the guts to outsource anything ever since.
Gotcha. What about maybe partnering with other writers? Have you ever considered that?
I have not. I actually had somebody offer, well, maybe we could partner and I'll do this and you can do that. And it's something that's been suggested to me, but I haven't given serious thought to. But I guess maybe more and more I'll have to think about it.
Gotcha. And then talk about the book a little bit. You mentioned your work with Robin Tippins and the book, I believe it's called Community 101.
Yes, Community 101, How to Grow an Online Community. Mm-hmm. And we just wrote this. It's just a really thin book. It's just kind of like a handbook about how you can use the internet to grow an online community for your business. And the idea for the book was Robin's, taken from some presentations that she had done at Blog World and other community events. And I just pretty much helped her turn her presentation into something a little more long form and kind of helped her flesh it out more. And so we wrote this book, and it has, you know, ideas about how to attract people to your blog or to your website, and then also how to keep them there and kind of build a community around your particular company or business.
Awesome. I see Robin's at sleepyblogger.com, right?
Yep, she is at sleepyblogger.com, and she also is a community manager at Current TV.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the community manager role. I've seen that sort of really pop up over the past year or so. Have you ever considered some of that work?
No.
No, not your thing.
No, that is not my thing.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll have to get someone on to talk about that.
Yes.
But well, that's good that you were able to work with her, establish that initial relationship early on, and then have that relationship now. And now you're selling books on Amazon. Congratulations.
Thanks.
That's really cool. So is there anything I didn't ask that I should have about freelance writing?
I don't think so.
No?
We
covered it all?
I don't think you can cover it all, but I think you asked good questions. I don't know how well I answered them, but.
Well, good. Well, I think any other thoughts or tips for maybe newbie writers out there? I mean, you've given us some good stuff, but just any other pieces of info for them?
Yeah, I think actually taking a writing class is quite helpful. Just even if it's just like a community education class, or if you audit a composition class at your local university, I think that taking a writing class and just sort of brushing up on the fundamentals is really helpful for anybody just starting out.
Good advice. Well, Miranda, thanks so much for being on with me.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yep. And, if people want to know more, they can go to MirandaMarquit.com.
Yep.
Or check out your book, Community 101. And, yeah, thanks so much. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Well, thank you.
That does it for this week's episode. Thanks so much for listening. You can find more episodes at PTMoney.com or on iTunes under the Part-Time Money Podcast. See you guys next week.